Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. Open phones all hour long, 406-294-0970. You can send me a message on the app. Got one from Virgil in Billings. Virgil says, Mike Johnson tried to sell out the Republican Party and Trump by giving the Democrats everything they wanted in the CR. It would have been better for Johnson to sit down with his conference to work on a CR acceptable to most of the conference. Instead, Johnson, working in the CR in secret with Schumer, tried to get it passed without anyone reading it. True, Virgil in Billings. True. Well said. My only sort of take or comment on that is that, remember, Donald Trump is not president, and Donald Trump was not president, and the Republicans do not control the House and did not control the House when Mike Johnson did that. Not that that excuses it, because I think you're right, that it's unacceptable the way that – I mean, any CR that is written in secret – and presented as some 1,500-page thing a day or two before it's supposed to be to vote, and that continues the outrageous deficit and debt spending is not something that I'm in favor of. And Mike Johnson did put that forward. And you know, but to push back on that a little bit, the only counter is, again, Trump's not president. Republicans don't control the Senate. So I don't think that what Mike Johnson's has done recently necessarily has any, you know, say over what he's going to do, you know, here. Coming up. But here's a story I really, really wanted to talk about, because I've been hearing this from lots of folks out there, and not just from Democrat states and not just Democrats, but you're seeing this in Republican states and from Republicans. Here's a Fox News story. Kentucky is going to consider a bill that would hold parents accountable for the children's gun crimes. And this is happening sort of a lot out there, folks, where it's like, okay, I think a lot of people have realized that traditional gun control is not going to work. So let's do sort of a side run to do gun control, and let's put in place laws that hold the parents responsible if their kids steal the parents' guns and go and commit a crime. The obvious goal of that would be to have the parents make it so they don't have guns, get rid of the guns. Why? We don't want our kids to end up making a mistake. So that's the real goal. But here's what this Fox News story says. Kentucky's legislature is primed to consider a bill in the new year that would make parents responsible for a little kid committing a gun crime. A state representative, a Republican in Kentucky, and again, I bring this story up. This is a state, you know, this is a domestic Kentucky state politics in Kentucky story. It's really not, though, because this is being done by Republicans in red states, and it's probably going to come to Montana. State Rep Kim Banta modeled her legislation after similar laws that hold parents accountable for certain crimes of their kids. Of course, the reality is that there aren't, she says, property crimes and motor vehicle accidents. Okay, but for the parents to be held responsible on those things, they actually have to affirmatively have done something wrong. What these people want here is that, hey, if you're an American citizen and you have a gun in your house, period, if it's not sort of like completely locked up, totally inaccessible and totally unusable, and your kid ends up getting his hand, you're going to be responsible. That's where they're going with it.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. As skies stay cloudy today, we'll see periods of light snow and flurry activity with an inch or two in Bozeman, up to an inch in the Billings area. High temperatures stay around 33 in Bozeman to the mid-30s in Billings. For tonight, we're looking at some scattered snow showers and accumulations at an inch or less around the region. Lows stay around 20 in Bozeman to mid-20s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. When it comes to congressional ethics, most of Washington was focused on the damning report by the House Ethics Committee on former GOP Florida Representative Matt Gaetz. The report accused Gaetz of statutory rape and paying for sex. But the ethics panel has decided not to open an investigation into outgoing House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Michael McCaul of Texas. Authorities detained McCaul in November for public intoxication while traveling through Dulles International Airport. After a discussion about McCaul, the committee said it voted on December 10th against opening a probe. The misdemeanor charges filed against him in district court in Virginia were dropped. The ethics committee said it would not impanel a special subcommittee to probe McCaul. McCaul publicly said he made a bad decision mixing a sleeping medication, Ambien, and alcohol while traveling in early November. It caused him to miss his flight home, and he reportedly became disoriented in the airport, locking himself out of his smartphone, and was ultimately detained by airport authorities. McCaul said, quote, "I am determined to learn from this mistake." With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks, and there's going to be some great content. David Noble, Scott Aspen, live. And more. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. I was talking about this story that's starting to gain traction. This idea that's gaining traction around the country about trying to hold parents responsible for their kids committing crimes. Apparently in Kentucky, parents are liable for up to $2,500 in cases where their kids deface property and the guardian who signed a minor's driver's license application is jointly and severally liable for any findings of negligence or damage behind the wheel. And it's like, okay. So if your kid goes out, and this is in Kentucky, if your kid goes out and destroys somebody's property, like you can owe up to $2,500. Okay, sort of fair and reasonable. And okay, and if you get your kid a driver's license and your kid ends up, you know, negligently driving and causing damage, like you're going to be responsible for that. Okay, you know, sort of fair and reasonable. But saying that the parents can go to prison for life if the kids get the hands on the parents' gun and go misuse it, that is a step too far, especially because, number one, we have a constitutional right to own guns, and putting in place a law like that would have such a chilling effect on gun ownership that it would be unconstitutional, in my opinion. But this Kentucky state politician says, the most important thing is I'm absolutely not trying to stop gun sales or enact gun control. I'm simply trying to make parents – this is a Republican, by the way, folks. This is a Republican. Wouldn't be surprised at all to see a Republican in the Montana legislature put forward something like this. She goes on, quote, I'm simply trying to make parents aware that whether it's driving a car or doing else their child does, they need to know what they're doing and they need to exercise caution. Oh, this upsets me. Here, you know what the difference is, folks, between driving a car and owning a gun? We have an express constitutional right to own guns. We don't have an express constitutional right to own a horse or a horse and buggy or a car or anything. That's why it makes me so mad when people say, well, you have to have a license to drive a car. Why shouldn't you have to have a driver's license or a license to own a gun? Because we have a constitutional right to own a gun. You don't have the same constitutional right to drive a car. Unbelievable. It's just like just remember that, folks. When anybody else out there, whenever you talk to somebody and somebody makes an argument about, well, we do this for that, we do that for that, we do this for this, we do that for this. Well, what about that? Okay, well, are those things constitutional rights? Are those things fundamental, God-given, natural human rights? Like the right to own a gun is? No, they're not. So quit talking about driving a car and as being the same as owning a gun. They're not the same. One of them is expressly protected by the United States Constitution, and one of them is not. So quit comparing them. To hear Republicans out of Kentucky comparing them just outrages me. Oh, man. Anyway, so factors in determining whether a parent should be liable if their kid uses the parent's gun include whether the elder allowed the child to have the gun, was aware of a previous gun law violations, or believes the minor to have the propensity to be violent. They don't mention in here, of course, the main factor, which is was your gun completely locked up and unloaded and completely unusable? Even if, you know, and it's like, okay, so let's say you're at home somebody breaks into your house, or let's say you're sleeping at night and somebody smashes down your window and jumps into your house or breaks down your front door and barges in. Do you have time at that point to go to the safe, unlock the safe, load up a magazine, put it in? No, you don't have that time. So they want to make it so you're required to have everything locked up tight and basically it almost nearly impossible to get to or utilize in an emergency situation. Otherwise the parents are going to go to jail. I think the effect of that is just, if you're a parent, you're just going to have guns. You're just not going to have guns. Why would you have guns around your house if you're a parent, if having them creates the possibility that your kid could do something and you're going to end up going to prison for life, or you have to have the guns locked up so much so that you can't even use them in an emergency situation. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson, sprinting to the finish line here in 2025, he put out a legal brief here just recently, as well as sent out a news blast. Attorney General Austin Knutson urges the Supreme Court to uphold the divest or ban law against TikTok. This has been somewhat in the news, interestingly, because Donald Trump is also filed a brief in this case as well, I think asking the Supreme Court to basically delay this law against TikTok so that Trump could come into the office. So it's kind of interesting to see Attorney General Austin Knutson going to the court and saying, no, uphold that law. TikTok is bad. It needs to be banned, period. You know, so kind of interesting because it does go against the Trump position. But I think we've got to get over this notion that you can never disagree with Trump. That's not something that Republicans or conservatives should get on board with. And you do see that a lot. You do see quite a bit of that on the right. This idea that you can never, ever criticize Trump. And if you criticize Trump, you can never disagree with Trump. And if you disagree with Trump, no, folks. That's what the Democrats do. The Democrats require everybody to goose step in line and to be woke and to get on board with all of it. And if you don't, you're thrown out of the Democrat Party. You're fired from your job. You're debanked. You lose everything. You're canceled. Your social media platforms are deleted. But as Republicans, we don't do that. And so we've got to be willing to accept the fact that sometimes you're going to have a policy disagreement with Trump, and that's okay. You don't get thrown out of the party. I actually happen to agree with the Attorney General Austin Knutson on getting rid of TikTok. We'll get more into that right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The sky stay cloudy today. We'll see periods of light snow and flurry activity with an inch or two in Bozeman, up to an inch in the Billings area. High temperatures stay around 33 in Bozeman to the mid-30s in Billings. For tonight, we're looking at some scattered snow showers and accumulations at an inch or less around the region. Low staying around 20 in Bozeman to mid-20s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
It's December 30th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Bicarbonate of Soda Day, also known as baking soda. The fine white powder has so many uses, from cleaning to absorbing odors in your refrigerator to baking cookies and cakes. On this day in 1809, wearing masks at balls in Boston is prohibited because people there believed it was detrimental to morals. John E. Hoover changes his name in 1918 to J. Edgar Hoover. He was appointed director of the Bureau of Investigation. The FBI's predecessor in 1924 was a key player in founding the FBI in 1935. He was the director for 37 years until he died in 1972 at the age of 77. In 1924, Edwin Hubble announces the existence of other galactic systems. The Hubble telescope was later named after him. Born on this day, Fox TV star Sean Hannity, born in 1961. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Confusion continues for farmers, ranchers, and small business owners after the Corporate Transparency Act took yet another legal turn late last week. Now, we did report last week that the injunction that kept the Corporate Transparency Act from taking effect was overturned. That occurred on Monday, December 23rd. But then on Friday, the full Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals reinstated that injunction. Following the situation closely is Kent Backus with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
This is something that's going to need some long-term permanent solutions. And quite frankly, we're going to need a lot of answers to questions that we don't have those answers right now. As this legal process unfolds, you know, we're going to say on top of this, it looks like the Fifth Circuit's not going to hear oral arguments on this until March 25th. So unless the Supreme Court intervenes between now and then I think we're going to have a little bit of a sigh of relief. But you know, unfortunately, we've said that before and then had to come right back on and issue some corrections just because this process has been all over the place.
A big reversal from last Monday's announcement. But yes, the Corporate Transparency Act is again on hold, but it has not gone away. Do not ignore this. I'll continue to track this. Whatever questions you may have, make sure and contact your CPA or attorney. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The best attorney general in the country, Attorney General Austin Knutson, led a coalition of 22 states in filing an amicus brief asking the United States Supreme Court to uphold the national TikTok divest or ban legislation passed by Congress. The federal law bans TikTok in the United States if the Chinese owner does not sell their stake in the platform. TikTok sued. Austin Knutson says, quote, allowing TikTok to operate in the United States without severing its ties to the Chinese Communist Party exposes Americans to the risk of the Chinese Communist Party accessing and exploiting their data. The act is a valid exercise of Congress's power over foreign affairs and national security. The court should affirm. So good stuff there out of Austin Knutson. As always, working hard, sprinting to the finish line here in 2025. Got a couple of messages on the Montana Talks app. You can send me a message. I'll read it and respond. Or call in 406-294-0970. We are taking phone calls the entire show. So call in. Tim in Billings says, David, I am wholeheartedly in support of parents being responsible for crimes committed by their children. Let's start with Joe and Hunter Biden. I mean, that's kind of funny, Tim in Billings. Of course, you know, I know you're joking around and stuff. But of course, Hunter is an adult. He's not a kid anymore. And he's an adult child, but he's not a kid, right? So it wouldn't apply to them. We're talking about minors. But I'd be curious, Tim, about how much of that was you're just joking around and be kind of making a you know, funny comment, but versus, do you really think that parents should be responsible for their kids committing? And then here's another message from Jeff in Victor, who makes a really good point, which I think actually pushes hard back against the idea that, hey, if the kids misuse a gun, that the parents should have to go to prison for that. Jeff in Victor says, referring to holding parents accountable if their kids misuse their gun, the liberals and the educators keep telling us those are not our children. Correct. Those are the whole country's kids. It takes a village, according to Hillary Clinton. Yeah, no, those aren't our kids. But that's another reason sort of why it would be so wrong to hold parents responsible if their kids steal their parents' gun and go misuse it. Okay, because those kids are getting brainwashed a lot of times by radical left-wing educators. A lot of times. Now, of course, there's lots of good conservative teachers out there. Frankly, I went to public schools in Montana. I graduated from a public school in Montana. I had wonderful teachers, didn't get a whole lot of, you know, political dogma pushed down my throat. But I think that's changed over the years, and especially with the way the universities have changed with how they educate educators, et cetera, et cetera. But the point remains, when the state is basically raising a lot of the kids, frankly, it's like, here's an argument. If those kids aren't our kids, and those kids are the country's kids or the state's kids or the school's kids or the teacher's kids, and remember, these Democrats, they think that they're kids. That's why they think that they can change a kid's gender without telling the parents. But, okay, if we're going to hold people accountable for a kid going on a mass shooting, why wouldn't you hold the school responsible for it? They're the ones that are raising the kid. You know, I mean, the whole thing is just preposterous, in my opinion. And of course, and it goes against the fundamental notion that we have as Americans, something called personal responsibility. Okay, now, if the parents are actively involved with a kid committing a crime, then the parents can be liable as accessories to the crime or as accomplices or whatever the state law is. But to take this an extra step and say, hey, even if you're a good parent, even if you did nothing wrong, even if you were not actively involved with this and you did nothing, you had no idea, if your kid steals your gun and goes and shoots it, you're going to prison, period. That is not okay, in my opinion. That is a runaround to try to implement gun control laws to try to force people to voluntarily give up their guns because they know they can't directly ban them. Let's go to Fred in the Flathead. Fred, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. And to your point, going back a little bit on what you were talking about, the outliers, and we can't just automatically not criticize Trump. And, you know, a key example of that sort of relates to what we're talking about of the House. Remember Thomas Massie, when COVID started and the Republicans are under Trump, they wanted to spend, you know, trillions of dollars, and he made them all come into Congress to vote. And he received the rap of Trump. He got called by Trump, and I'm going to primary you, and you're over, and all this stuff, you know. And it's, you know, he stood up to him, and you know, he did pretty well. And if you think back, Rosendale, who's more MAGA than MAGA, what happened to him? He dared run afoul of, you know, Trump rule because he didn't take Trump's call on the floor of the speaker's battle. And right or wrong, whatever, but, you know, here we had, you know, Don Jr., Matt Rosendale, he's a rhino. He was like, what? You know, stop that. That's ridiculous.
Hey, Fred.
Well, I agree.
Fred, we got the 7:30 news break. Let me throw you on hold. I want to let you finish your thought, and I've got a follow-up question for you, Fred, because I think you're making some real interesting points there. But we do have let's do the 7:30 Fox News break. David Noble with a K, filling in Aaron Flint, Montana Talks. Let's go to Fred in the Flathead. Fred, are you still with us?
Yeah, still there.
So you were basically kind of going through a little bit of the history of some of these Congress people who have, I guess, sort of gotten on the bad side of Trump.
Yeah, and you know, not so much that's the point, but my point I was trying to make was, seems like a lot of times the rap only goes after the guys that are doing what, you know, conservatives say they want to do. And, you know, so, and in the end, you can't necessarily give up your leverage. And I agree, you know, we don't have the big House majority and all that we thought we'd have, but you know, you got to kind of step aside when all of a sudden there's last week, Chip Roy, he's supported the Sanders. We got to get rid of him. And all that's the kind of guy we need to get rid of. These guys are just using their levers to try to use politics to stand up for what they say. And they're probably not that many guys that are actually true believers in there that operate by principles, and they don't have to come in play. So just, you know, I like Trump. He's been great. I voted for him 3 times, but I'm not easy to criticize when he does something that's not good. But let's give him a chance. He hasn't even been in there yet. But the point is, let's not shoot some of our best guys just because so he get on the bandwagon and go along. And last week, 1,500-page pop of junk bill that Mike Johnson just said, it's a pretty good. You know, it's like Langford's, immigration bill. It's a pretty good. We all vote for it. Bipartisan.
Right. Yeah,
comment.
No, and it's a great comment. Great comment. I think it goes both ways too, Fred. And what you're saying, I think goes both ways. And I don't know what it is with Republicans and conservatives, though. We are so quick to attack each other and to throw each other overboard. So, for example, you've got a lot of the, and by the way, I agree with you. You know, the Chip Roys, the Thomas Massies, the Matt Rosendales, the Freedom Caucus. Those guys have historically been the most conservative members of Congress. They're my favorite Congress people. Those are the types of people that are the ones that are voting against the spending. They're voting against the CRs. They're the ones that are standing on principle. They're the only ones that are actually fulfilling their promise to their voters, because they promised their voters they wouldn't vote to continue this debt. And so you have those people, and then you have, and then Trump says, hey, you know, do unlimited debt, push the debt limit until 2029, you know, and then pass the CR, you know, and then, you know, the Massies and the Chip Roys vote against it. And then and I don't think Trump said this, but a lot of the MAGA people then goes, we got a primary Chip Roy, we got a primary Thomas Massie, we got to throw these people out. And it's like, well, hold on. These are the most conservative members of Congress. Why would you want to throw them out? But then when I say it goes both ways, what I'm talking about is then you have the Thomas Massies, the Chip Roys of the world, that then if Mike Johnson, for example, doesn't do exactly what they want, then they want to throw out Mike Johnson. And so this goes both ways. You've got Republicans constantly trying to throw out other Republicans, primary other Republicans, get other Republicans removed from office. And it's all just a matter of degree, right? It's like Chip Roy and Thomas Massie, maybe they can't bring it themselves to vote for another blowout, debt-ridden CR. But you know what? They're going to support Trump on pretty much everything else. So let's...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. You know, it was clear skies here this morning, and then now I'm looking out there, and it looks like the snow is really coming down. Tim and Billings had sent in a message. You know, we were talking earlier about how the Republicans across the country are now trying to put in new gun control laws to try to make it so that parents are now responsible and liable for anything their kids do with their guns. And then we were sort of talking about generally are parents, you know, responsible for their kids' crimes. Tim sent in a message saying, yeah, let's start with Hunter and Joe. Tim and Billings, thanks for calling in.
Good morning, David. I was absolutely joking about that. I mean, I do believe that Hunter Biden is a criminal, and so is his father.
Right, Jim.
So is almost everybody in their orbit. But absolutely opposed to holding one member of a family accountable for the actions of another family. That goes back to, you know, the days of serfdom and lords and ladies, and you know, we would end up with these star chamber courts where you would never even know what crime you're being accused of because it was somebody that you're a shirt tail relation to that would do something. And because you said something that the crown didn't like, well, then you're also guilty of that crime. And, you know, then we start holding children responsible for the crimes of their father and things of that nature. And it's just ludicrous. We have individual rights, individual responsibilities in this country. The individualism is the founding principle of America that made us unique, that we have these individual rights that are not granted to us by a government or a king or another human. They're granted to us by God. And to get away from those is just, you know, it's idiotic.
Amen to that. And really good. I like going back into the history because you're right. There is a history here of trying to hold people responsible for other people's actions. And the reality is that you could be the best parent in the world. You could be the absolute best parent in the world. And your kid is still going to have to make their own choices. And you could be the best parent in the world, and your kid could, of their own free will, make a bad choice. And it's crazy to say that the parents are liable for that.
Absolutely right. You could also be the worst parent in the world, and you could have offspring that turn out to be great people. I don't know if you ever watched the Sean Ryan Show podcast. There was a fellow on there, his name is Victor Marks, and he's well known for having the world's fastest disarming of a person with a handgun. He's a former Marine. He has a ministry where he goes to foreign countries and he rescues children that are being trafficked and sexually abused and things of that nature. And he talks about his upbringing and how he lived with a stepfather that was an absolute sociopath and would abuse him and hand him off to other people to be abused. And he turned out to be a man that's out there rescuing children and doing the best that he can to spread a ministry of love and compassion. And, so your life is what you make of it. And that is what America is founded on. And that's what makes it great. You have the opportunity to go out and make the life that you want, not an equal opportunity for the ending, an equal opportunity for the start. You have the equal opportunity to have the ability to go out and make your life great, not an equal ending.
Amen. No, amen, amen to that. You know, the other thing it reminds me of is the Democrats have historically always tried to make the gun manufacturers pay for this stuff. I don't know if you remember that, Tim, where they would – the Democrats used to try to say, hey, let's make these gun manufacturers, if they make a gun and then somebody uses that gun to kill somebody, the gun maker should have to pay for the death. I mean, how outrageous is that?
Well, it is outrageous. And honestly, you know, all of the political culture – is kind of guilty of going down that path when they went after the tobacco companies. You know, these Montana gets huge amounts of money from the tobacco companies, or they did, right? Hey, man, I don't think anybody was twisting people's arms to go out and have a pack of smoke. You know,
right.
It's like that was the culture. Did they have misleading advertising? Probably. Guess what? So does everybody else. I mean,
you're right. It's like this entire thing to avoid personal responsibility. It's not just at this level. You're right, Tim. That's a great point. We've got an entire cultural thing going on here where people don't want to hold people responsible for their own actions. Democrats do this all the time. Somebody steals. You know what the Democrats think? Well, they were starving and they needed a loaf of bread. You see organized criminal gangs do smash and grabs at the jewelry store, and you've got AOC out there saying, well, they were hungry for bread and they were just trying to steal some bread. It's like, no, people, you've got to take responsibility. Individuals are responsible for their actions. That's a great point about from Tim in Billings, as always. Let's go to Kat in Eastern Montana. Kat, thanks for calling.
Well, good morning, Montana, and thanks, David, and the whole crew over there helping you. And so I just wanted to make a point that Montana has the highest carry rate per capita for firearms, okay? And knock on wood, because I'm not trying to jinx us or anything, and God willing, this won't happen. But see, we don't have any school shootings. Now, I think that, you know, says something that speaks to these other communities that do, that have the liberal mind virus we have. But I think it's a cultural issue, right? But if it was about the guns, then we would have school shootings in Montana, and we don't. We have gun education. We have gun rights. We have the personal responsibility in Montana. We all, we all just take responsibility for our own actions.
And we
now,
teach. And Kat, let me just jump in, because I think you're making a good point. Let me let you finish. But what you're saying reminds me of another thing that we do here in Montana, which is we teach our children safety and gun rules. And you know, I took hunter safety when I was 12 years old. I still remember to this day the number one gun safety rule: always treat every gun as if it's loaded, period. Even if you know 100% it's not loaded, always treat it as if it's loaded. How about we focus on teaching our kids gun safety rules
and having responsible kids, instead of trying to hold parents criminally liable if their kid does something crazy when the parents had nothing to do with it.
I absolutely agree, David. And then I always stand on this suggestion right here. If you are concerned about school shootings, stick two armed veterans at every school. And I love that idea. You stick two armed veterans at every school and think of all those problems that would be solved. But that's the point. They don't want to solve the problem. They just want to take our guns. I hope you have a wonderful day, David.
Thank you so much, Kat. Really appreciate the call. As always, let's go straight to Don in Billings. Don, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hey, this thing with the guns and everything and these legislatures and these corrupt judges trying to sway stuff like this, parents don't have a chance because even in this state with our Supreme Court, what they did, you look at all these people want to go after the guns, but then they want to allow these kids to cut off their body parts. And then in some states, if parents resist, they go to jail.
How absurd is that? Yeah.
They want their cake and they want to eat it too.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And as far as putting veterans in schools, yes and no. If they're law enforcement, because military is way different than law enforcement. But if you could put law enforcement in these schools, retired law enforcement, that'd be the beneficial thing to do because they know the laws.
Hey, thanks so much.
Which they work.
Yeah, no, good point, Don. Thanks so much, Don. Really appreciate the call. Well said. We got a message from Menace, from Ennis. He says, Mr. Noble, and he did spell Noble with a K. He says, we need to remember an unloaded gun is useless, doesn't even make a good club. Teach your children to respect firearms. That was exactly my point, Menace from Ennis. I think the responsible thing is to teach children gun safety rules, not have this idea that all guns must be completely unloaded and completely locked up and completely inaccessible unless you spend 10 minutes, getting the lock combination put in. But Kat in Eastern Montana made a good point too, which reminded me of another story that I've got here that was just recently, put to the top of the stack here. Liberals say Vermont has the craziest gun laws, but guess what? Vermont also happens to be the safest state. Kind of interesting that progressive Vermont has some of the most gun freedom laws out there. Bernie Sanders actually ended up taking fire from other Democrats during the 2016 primary because Sanders had defended a vote in favor of legislation granting gun manufacturers legal immunity. This was just what I was talking about earlier. So I didn't realize that was back in 2005. So yeah, back in the early 2000s, the Democrats wanted to say every single person out there that gets injured by a gun or shot by a gun, they can go sue whatever gun manufacturer made that gun and recover money damages from the gun manufacturer. And it's like, wait, excuse me? Of course, that goes against every notion of fairness and justice ever because the gun manufacturer did nothing wrong. But the Democrats didn't care. They still thought they should have to pay for it. But anyway, more discussion on how Vermont's laws go right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Buzzballs. Meet Buzzballs, a unique round ball can that is filled with delicious real fruit juice and cream cocktails. There is nothing cooler than these new ball-shaped cocktails that are perfect for every occasion. Grab a refreshing gluten-free Buzzballs for your party, festival, or just relaxing with friends. Buzzball, let the good times roll. Buzzballs, 15% ABV, Carrollton, Texas. Please enjoy responsibly.
Fox News commentary.
This ousted squad member isn't ruling out another run for office. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out who next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
It's hard to decide which Democrat lady is more delusional about her political future, Kamala or Cori Bush. For her part, ousted Missouri Rep. Bush told Politico that running for office again isn't off the table and proudly proclaimed she will always be squad. That's cute, but the voters in Missouri's 1st District may beg to differ. While both Cori Bush and fellow ousted squad member Jamal Bowman blamed Jewish groups for their defeat, they are missing the bigger picture, and it has nothing to do with fundraising. The American people, even Democrats, are tired of woke, tired of America hating, and tired of the dangerous defund the police movement squad members have promoted and supported. Cori Bush is the one who infamously defended spending taxpayer dollars on her own private security while advocating for police to be defunded for the rest of us. But that's long gone now because a great awakening is upon us and woke will be put to bed. I'm Tommy Lahren and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The sky stay cloudy today. We'll see periods of light snow and flurry activity with an inch or two in Bozeman, up to an inch in the Billings area. High temperatures stay around 33 in Bozeman to the mid-30s in Billings. For tonight, we're looking at some scattered snow showers and accumulations at an inch or less around the region. Lows stay around 20 in Bozeman to mid-20s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks, and there's going to be some great content.
Com, offer code radio. Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Caden, the producer, sent a message. He says, the government wants to take our guns so we can't truly fight back against them, which is, of course, exactly right. And that's the reason governments always historically have wanted to take their citizens' gun. Remember Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge when they took over Cambodia? The very first thing they did was take away all the people's guns. Bernie Sanders got in trouble in 2005 for standing up for gun rights. But what's crazy about Vermont is even though it's one of the most liberal states, it actually has a really strong gun culture, and they actually have very strong gun laws there in Vermont. And you know what's interesting about Vermont? Vermont is the absolute safest state of them all. The pattern is clear. Gun violence is almost non-existent in Vermont, even though they have the most amount of guns. And it kind of matches what Kat was saying about Montana and the amount of people that carry guns here in Montana, and then the amount of school shootings we do not have here, which is always a good news. Bozeman is going to have an increased police presence around the new year. Bozeman Police Department cautioning people to drive sober. Okay, here's what I've actually, so this was kind of interesting. I think we all know that the police are going to be out and about tomorrow night. I would strongly encourage folks to not drink and drive as well. But here's what's crazy. Over 13,500 people killed in 2022 due to a driver under the influence of alcohol, accounting for a third of all traffic fatalities. Bozeman Police Department Lieutenant Ben King says there will be additional officers. By the way, this is an online story by Brianna Carroll. Says there will be an additional officers work in the coming days as they tend to see an increase in DUIs. He says, quote, we typically see more impaired driving during the holidays, which is why we're increasing our presence on the roads just to ensure everybody can enjoy their festivities and make it home safely. Okay, there was another, but this dovetailed with another story I had about Democrats wanting to ban Europeans wanting to ban disposable e-cigarettes. Now, I've got a point I want to make here about what the Democrats are doing with wanting to ban things like disposable e-cigarettes or leftists, whatever you want to call them, and then what's going on with alcohol and traffic fatalities. And I just kind of want to point out a little inconsistency and hypocrisy on the left on that point. But first, let's go to John in Three Forks. John, thanks for calling. Hey, John, are you there? You got to turn off the radio in the background as well if you want to be on. Are you there?
Yeah. Yep, I'm here.
Okay, did you got the radio turned off?
I did. I kind of turned it down. Yep.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I kind of wanted to respond to the caller Kat that called a little bit ago. She's spot on with a lot of stuff that she was saying, but you got to remember, Chris Kyle was killed by a vet. Not every one of them are qualified to stand in our kids' schools. Some of them have problems that haven't been addressed, and maybe we as a society haven't done a real good job at doing that. As a vet myself, I would say that, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done with people when they come back from some of the things that they do. And just because you have a DD 214 doesn't mean you should be standing in a school hallway. And so I would agree with the caller that came after her. I think he was saying kind of the same thing. It's tough.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, and then, but I love the guys. Like I did it for 12 years. And,
thank you, sir.
Some of the greatest people you'll ever meet that are out there doing that job and love what they, you know, what they're doing and why they do it. So,
8 a.m.
I'm not saying roll here.
3 seconds left. Thanks so much for the call.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Is the era of sluggish electricity demand growth about to end? Here are three reasons why that will likely be the case. Data centers, electrification, and electric vehicles. Of the three, the rollout of the huge data centers needed to fuel the growth of our artificial intelligence computing, or AI, is probably the biggest game changer of the three. AI isn't talk, it's already here. And companies are pouring billions into making it grow, and it's going to take chips, processing centers, and plenty of juice from the power grid. A consortium of utilities in our region recently forecast that electricity demand will go up by about 30% in the next 10 years. That's a seismic change for a region that's seen very little growth in power demand in the last decade. Sadly, politics may interfere with the planning for this kind of change, because growing demand means building more generation and transmission, which grows the rate base, and yes, electricity rates will rise. People don't like that, or some are already preparing to fight it. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.